Now, talking about jams, we can now switch things over. And we bring in our good friend, Jim Lynch. It's time for Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, you name it, politics. He's got an opinion on it. You might not always agree with it, but you know where Jim stands. And, of course, we bring Jim in live every Tuesday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring the man who probably was watching that incredible end to the Minnesota Vikings game, Jim Lynch.
Wasn't that something? My God, man.
I feel so sorry for that kid. He's a rookie.
I do too.
And he's gonna have that the rest of the day. That's like that, Jim, as a Giant fan, I have the fumble that I have to hold on to my whole life. Now, as a New Orleans Saints fan, you have the touchdown.
I know.
You know what else you have? And this is just kind of, there's an old saying, it's why you run the race. It's why
That's
you play
right.
the game. It's why you run the race. You know, and we have, over the years, as computers have become, shall we say, more and more prevalent in people's existence, started to assume that, well, you know, because it's like this, then it's going to be like this. And that is, I think, just a huge mistake for humankind.
I concur with what you say, but I'm really where Marshall is, that young man who earlier in the football game had been complimented by the announcers. We're talking about the New Orleans Saints, a young rookie, actually, who missed a tackle that would have ended the game and the Saints would have won it. It's interesting as you go along watching some of these sports, and particularly certain players. You can always count on a Roethlisberger or a Breeze to make it exciting. I mean, these were probably two of the most exciting football games we've seen in some time. They weren't well played, but they were played, and these guys played hard, and everybody got their money's worth, so to speak. But extremely disappointing. More the Saints than Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh also had its own disappointment. You know, when you come back from four touchdowns, as Pittsburgh did, and, you know, you're within a hair of winning the whole thing. Anyhow, it was good football. These guys enjoy the game. They get paid well. So on to the Super Bowl, or I guess firstly the...
Championship Sunday.
Yeah. And I credit the other teams here because, like the Vikings, they held, and that man who caught that pass, he got one hand on the turf, and up he went, and off he went. It was amazing. The world stopped, I think, for a second when that guy ran in for the touchdown.
And it stopped for him, too, because you saw that he was heading for the... You could see the bubble over his head. It's like some...
You're right, Jill. You could see the bubble over his head. I mean, that stadium exploded. All of the energy was so, so incredible.
And the fact that he had the wherewithal, and this is the thing, because in life, it's a question of nanoseconds. He was going to go to the sidelines, but he had to actually stop and go, wait. And you saw that whole, you saw a very quick sequence of events when he was like, wait, no, I have to run to the end zone now. But it just speaks of a whole lot of things that you don't normally see.
And, you know, you say it well in that the reason we watch these sports is because, one, it takes us away from some of the dreary things that occur. But on the other hand, it gives us that life experience. And that was one of those moments of him running into the end zone. I mean, the world stopped and we all felt good.
We felt bad and good, but it was in that moment that we watched something. And I just, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in the last few weeks, and it's always been this way, okay? I think it's been this way since you were playing stickball on the streets, Jim, but it still amazes me, is in the news business, whether or not you have screens, cables, your own Apple Watch, whatever, everything is always reported as, ha, 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 and then all the very frequently something happens that you were going about. You know, it's like, and then we move on to the next.
Well said. Boy, you're in rare form this morning, young lady.
But it's just, I was like, okay, right. So it was never going to happen. It was never going to happen. Okay, now it happened. So now we're on to the next thing that's never going to happen. And
right.
We don't take the minute to go, right, well, that happened. I'm not saying we should. It's not news. But I think that for brains to be rerouted, it is helpful to be aware of that.
Yep, it sure is.
Here comes
it sure is. Well, let's move on to something which I think is not being lost, but there's so many things happening, and that is the laundering of money by Donald Trump. He's laundered for the Russians, and it goes something like this. If you go to BuzzFeed on the internet, you'll find there's an article that indicates that 1,300 condos, Trump condos, were sold to people in these little LLCs that don't have a name on them. In other words, they're secretive. And this is a convenient way to launder money in that real estate, particularly if you can keep it secret, well, you're off to the races. Nobody notices. Now, today, Trump is hosting a fellow from, I think, Afghanistan. I'm not saying it properly. But he and some of his folks bought three Trump condos in 2013. Actually, it's a Soho downtown in Manhattan. They paid $3 million, too. And in 2015, they took a loss. And this is one of the, this is in the New York market, which was doing pretty well, by the way. Soho wasn't, the Soho Trump wasn't. But the key to this transaction was they took the loss because all they wanted was the money in the United States. Where they put it, I don't know. So you've heard this periodically when people talk about the Mueller probe of Donald Trump. And it's follow the money, and more the plot thickens, the trail grows much clearer. And also, Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, is being investigated for some of his real estate, which goes something like, if you're Chinese and you come to his property and you put up $500,000, you get a visa as well as the property. This is also a form of, in this instance, a person can then stay in the country. So watch that. It's happening. There's a lot of other things that are happening as well. I think we've all been tormented by them in the last week. I don't want to belabor, but I do need to say that I want to just say, because it can't be said enough, how wonderful we had in our midst a fellow named Martin Luther King, who basically stepped up to the plate and made a difference in terms of his group, his race of folks, and made the life of a lot of people different and, for the most part, better, as our society has been trying to get itself together and get more in concert and be less divisive. Long way to go, but his spirit lives on. And coinciding with that spirit living on is that of Robert Kennedy, who made a wonderful speech the night of Martin's death, which in many people feel it helped to tamp down some of the obvious revolutionary aspects of folks who were so affronted by the killing of this minister. That said, it just points out that here in America, we've had a lot of problems over our lifetime, and we've had people step to the fore, and sometimes they've solved some of our problems pretty quickly, like FDR did after the Great Depression, and Obama did after what some billed as another Great Depression, something which Obama really never got, in my opinion, enough plaudits for. And it's good to give plaudits. It's good to, you know, reward people with compliments when they've done something very good, particularly when it benefited the entire population, bringing us back from the 2008 debacle to an economy now that's been growing. Jobs are aplenty. There are many more jobs than people who can take them. And this is where this divisiveness that we it's come a cropper in the last several years. We really need to get over it and get beyond it, because we fail to recognize, like Obama's successes, and he had failures, so don't get me wrong, but this economic success is something that really should be appreciated. That said, we have to stand tall as Americans, and we're a democracy. We are basically a country of immigrants, and that is our strength.
Okay, so I have a couple of tangential, not having to do with that broadness, but a couple of specific things that I want to ask you about, and they have more to do with covering your assets than other things. The first is the cryptocurrency insanity.
Yes, Bitcoin down 17% to about 11,000 and change. The high was about 19,000. The reason it fell the 17% was just the continued concern of the South Korean and Chinese government with the was really the practicality, the reality of the currency, not cryptocurrency, and so that took it down. But also, there's a conference scheduled, a Bitcoin conference scheduled, and they had to stop taking payment in Bitcoin because they couldn't get the transaction in the computer on a timely basis for the conference to get their money. Kind of indicative of the fact that people who have been buying things with Bitcoin, and I guess they've been successful. We've heard of X amount of glitches because, after all, this is all done on a computer. But this is something you have to stay away from. Now, if you really want to, if you or you're inclined to, and you have some people to advise you, the area I'd look for on a more speculative basis is the commodity area, particularly gold, which made a new yearly high, oil, which made a 3-year high, and copper, which I guess is about a year or two high. Now, stock market is raging higher. It becomes more overvalued as the prices of stocks go up, because while the earnings are going to be there, they're not going to probably keep up with the prices of the stock. However, commodities have had been lingering, and they're now stepping to the plate. If we believe our economy, world economy, let's say, is going to keep improving or remain steady, copper is the leading industrial metal when it comes to manufacturing. A key to copper lately is something that really is kind of off the charts if you think about it now. China, which is the probably largest user of copper and has a large copper base, they closed down one plant and slowed down another. And guess why they're doing that? Because there's too many emissions coming from this manufacturing process they're using, and they're trying to basically cut those emissions down to make for cleaner air. So if you're looking for something of a speculative nature, not nearly as speculative as cryptocurrencies, you have them traded on exchanges. And on these commodity exchanges, there's all kind of money behind it to back the transactions up. So that's what I would say about that. On an economic front, there's a study out, and it's not really new. It's by the Brookings Institute, which shows that as each year goes by, we need more and more young workers to pay into the Social Security system for the older people who are getting those benefits. Now, this dilemma, and it is a dilemma, namely getting enough people working to support the Social Security system, really flies in the face of the attempt of the current administration to limit the new people coming into this country, or staying in this country, actually, making money and paying taxes and paying into Social Security. If theoretically we could cut out all of these new people coming in and working, I don't have a number on it, but the Social Security fund would quickly no longer cover most people. That's something that I'm afraid many white workers who basically voted for Trump were not paying attention to, a little bit like shooting yourself in the foot. Again, I ended the last segment before we got into this financial sector. We are a nation of immigrants. If you look at the way we got started and continue to grow, these were people from other places. The people who originated this country were Native Americans. They weren't the British, the Germans, the Irish, the Italians, the Jewish. Those people came to these shores. They developed families and businesses and paid their taxes and used the toll roads, et cetera, et cetera. So this immigration issue is much larger than black versus white or brown. It's very economic in nature. And on that basis, I must say, I don't think I said it, I've said it in other places, but you know the thing going on in Africa where these people are upset with us because the president has made such dastardly comments? You know, the Chinese have been developing their ties and their businesses in Africa for at least 5 years, maybe going on 10. And just what the president has done is basically told the people in Africa, okay, you're not worth much. And it gives the Chinese an incredible opportunity to just accelerate their economic activity in Africa. Africa is, will be, the leading economic opportunity in the next 20 years.
Do you know how many people in America think that Africa is, like, small or one country? I mean, it's just, it's the African literacy, if you will, please, in this country is sadly wanting, sadly. So just factor that in. I mean, obviously, if you've got an international bent, that's different. But it's something that we talk about with one of our media guys frequently, because he has spent much time there and has tremendous interest. And what I find equally startling is, of course, the minute that you get out of the American headset, Africa is considered a very, pretty much every place else on the planet, Africa is, has a status and a stature. But it's just not, it's just, it's not something Americans do. I don't know why.
Well, because...
But this is ongoing. This is not new.
I'll try and be gentle, but you know, Americans just are too lazy to learn. That's all. They're just too lazy. And
It's just something to. And then the other thing that I wanted to ask you, Marshall is saying we've got a couple of minutes.
Only have about 3 minutes left.
Okay.
Two and a half minutes now.
And this is just in the global scheme of things. There is a British company called Carillion that's just gone into receivership. And it seems like it's pretty big. Do you have anything that you would or could say about that in terms of, you know, how these things end up being related, even though technically it's all separate?
I honestly don't have something to say on that.
Okay.
I'll look into it.
All right.
But I do want to, continuing on the African theme, the Nigerians in this country, who live in this country and work in this country, the average Nigerian makes more money in this country than the average U.S. worker. We're talking averages now, okay? We're not talking, you know, big numbers. Obviously, there are not a lot of Nigerians here, but it's kind of startling. It means that they've basically come, educated themselves, been educated, have been working hard, and so forth and so on. Also, I discovered recently Ethiopia, which is also in Africa. There's a direct flight from D.C. to Ethiopia, indicative of, obviously, their diplomats, but also the wealth. And I guess maybe, folks, we ought to just, you know, if we want to become more a part of the world and the world as it's going to grow, start learning about places like Africa. And, you know, maybe spend less time listening to somebody beating up on somebody else and more time on learning about people and their potentials. Anyhow, it's been quite a week or so. I was delighted with the football. God, what a relief. And going forward, you know, make sure your kids are studying. Make sure your kids are learning about the world. One last thing. In terms of what we've done in the last year or so, the number of students who are qualified for grad school in this country from the countries of China and India and elsewhere, but particularly China, the number of students saying, I want to go to American grad school is declining. Foreign students are declining. And it's because of this atmosphere that we've created in the last year or so. I mean, education is one thing, but, you know, living a life in peace and serenity is another. That said, have a marvelous week. The democracy goes on. You're part of the democracy. Do whatever you can to make it work, be it participating in your local government affairs, making donations, getting on Twitter with honest, solid comments, and be well and be happy. Life goes on. Have a good one.
All right, Jim, we'll speak to you next week.
You got it, buddy.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Jim Lynch, and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio.